In the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, beginning in verse 21, John 8, beginning in verse 21, reading from the New King James Version. But Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. There are some horrible ways to die, if you think about it. We read in the scripture where some, of course, were stoned to death. Can you imagine being stoned to death? A horrible way to die. Can you imagine being sawn in two? Hebrews 11 and verse 37. Can you imagine being killed with a sword? Perhaps being decapitated with a sword. Horrible ways to die. Sometimes people even died without mercy. Hebrews 10 and verse 28. No compassion, no pity at all. Their life was just snuffed out, we might say. Some, of course, were crucified. Matthew 23 and in verse 34, Jesus said, therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Now look at that very closely. Some of them you will kill and crucify. When one was crucified, was he not killed? Of course he was killed. But the word killed here means killed in all sorts of ways. Some of them you're going to kill in all sorts of ways. One of those ways is they're going to be crucified. Christians in the first century were killed in all sorts of ways. Terrible deaths, horrible death, great tragedy, calamity. Some, according to the historians, Nero dipped in tar and burned as human torches. Can you imagine that? A horrible way to die indeed. Some of them wrapped in animal skins and thrown to the wild animals. Some of them just put in arenas with wild animals to do combat, consumed by the wild animals. Others were simply just thrown into a furnace of fire and burned. Horrible ways to die. But the worst way to die is to die in your sins. That's the worst kind of death that one can die. To die in your sins. Man is a creature of choice. We have a choice. We can die in our sins or die forgiven of our sins. It's our choice. In Joshua 24 and in verse 15, Joshua told the people of his day, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We all have a choice. We can serve God or serve Satan. If we choose to serve Satan, of course, we become a child of Satan. We become a child of the devil. He becomes our father. John 8 in verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Who wants to be known as a child of the devil? Who wants to be known as a son of Satan? But that's what we make ourselves when we choose to serve Satan. We can choose to serve God or we can choose to serve Satan. So man can choose to serve God and he can choose then to believe that Jesus is deity, the Son of God. John 8 in verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, note the word he is in italics, been added by the translators. It just simply says, you should believe that I am. When you go to the book of Exodus in chapter 3, as God was instructing Moses on what he would tell the Israelites in regard to him being the one who would lead them out of Egyptian captivity, and Moses said, well, whom shall I tell them who sent me? Well, tell them that I am sent you. Jesus claims to be deity here. For if you do not believe that I am, that I'm deity, that I'm the Son of God, you will die in your sins. So we have a choice. We can believe that, or we can die in our sins. the price to be an unbeliever is just too much, is it not? Which is it? The choice that you make today, to die in your sins, to be a child of God, to be forgiven of your sins. The choice is yours. Because we're all going to die. Death is indeed certain. It is sure. It's coming to all of us. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. As it is appointed. It's an appointment that we're all going to keep. Actually, the word appointment here, we studied it not long ago. Most of the time in the New Testament, it's translated laid up. Like the crown of life that Paul says is laid up for him. That's the word here, appointed. So death is simply laid away waiting for all of us. It's laid up waiting for all of us. We'll not escape it. It's coming to all of us. As a matter of fact, we're dying right now while we're alive. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. The word perishing here means decaying. Our outward man is actually decaying before our eyes. It's simply happening so, you might say, moment by moment that we don't recognize it. But we're all decaying before our eyes. The word itself means to decompose, to undergo the physical process of breaking down and wearing out. That's what the word means. Translated, decaying in some versions. So we're wasting away. We're becoming gradually incapacitated. We're all dying, and we're going to reach that point someday where we'll not be alive. Are we going to be dead in our sins or dead in Christ and forgiven of our sins? Which will it be? Many people today are seeking for science to prolong their life. Well, science has made some great strides and it can prolong life, but it cannot bring about immortality. Just think about that. It might give you a few extra months, maybe a few extra years, but it will not give you immortality. Death is certain and sure. It's laid up. It's awaiting for all of us. Amen. So if we're going to die, we certainly would want to have a successful death, would we not? A successful death. In order to have a successful death, we may die the death of the righteous. In Numbers 23 and verse 10, Balaam is speaking here. He's speaking to Balak, king of the Moabites. King of the Moabites, Balak had hired Balaam to curse the nation of Israel. But we know that on each occasion, if you're familiar with that, instead of cursing, he blessed them. This is the first occasion as Balak and Balaam look out over the camp of the children of Israel. And this is part of what Balaam said. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? We might picture in our mind as they stand on the mountainside looking out over the camp of Israel and how numerous they are. That's the dust of Jacob. As if they're dust specks out there. And who can count the fourth of Israel? They can only see 1/4 of the count because the camp of Israel is so large. They're in such great number. Balaam himself says, let me die the death of the righteous and let my end be like his. If we're going to have a successful death, we must die the death of the righteous or the death of the upright. Because our end will be like the end of the upright, whom God will take care of, God will be concerned with. As the psalmist said in Psalm 116 and verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In order for one to die the death of the righteous, he must live a righteous or right life. Titus 2 and in verse 11, Paul said, for the grace of God that brings salvation, note this, to all men has appeared, that is, become fully known, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, self-controlled lives, righteously upright lives, and godly, that is, reverent lives in this present age. If you're going to die the death of the righteous, if you're going to be an upright man, one who is virtuous in the sight of God, at your death, you're going to have to live righteous. The only way we know how to live righteous is to live according to God's Word, because that's what righteousness is all about. Living according to the righteous requirements of God's Word. Often use the example of Zacharias and Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, they're said to be righteous. Why? Because they kept the commandments and ordinances of God blameless. So they're righteous because they obeyed the commands of God. We'll be righteous and live upright lives if we obey the commands of God. If we continue to do that through life and die the death of the righteous, we'll be precious in the sight of God. But remember, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. They'll not go to heaven. Only if you die the death of the righteous, the death of the upright, will you be able to go to heaven. One also may die in the Lord. Revelation 14 and verse 13, that would certainly be a successful death. Revelation 14 and verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, in a union, relationship, and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are blessed. How much more blessed could you be to die in the Lord? The opposite of that is to die outside the Lord, to die outside of His fellowship, die outside of a union or relationship with Him. But before one can die in the Lord, he has to be in the Lord to begin with. How do we get in the Lord? Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I like the English Standard Version. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. How did they get there? They were baptized into Christ Jesus. So if you're going to die in the Lord, you're going to have to get in Him, get in a relationship with Him, get in a union with Him, be in fellowship with Him if you're going to die in the Lord. If not, you're going to face horrible tragedy, ruin and destruction of your soul. Amen. Once we get into Christ, we must abide in Him. John 15 in verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So once we get in a union and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to stay there. We have to remain there. We have to dwell in that relationship in order to die in the Lord. In order to have a successful death, we also may die in faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died. You're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11? As the writer of Hebrews enumerates several Old Testament worthies, these all died in faith. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. So you would certainly have a successful death if you're living by faith when you die. If you're faithful when you die to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have a hope that awaits you, a hope of eternal salvation. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the very reality of that which we hope for. It's like a title or a deed to something. We can't see what we have, but we've got that title or deed. We know that exists. It's a reality. Faith gives substance or reality to that which we hope. Faith gives us that hope. And if we're going to have a successful death, we must die in faith. Still living by faith and being faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God's people know that by faith they have a home prepared for them in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 1 in our reading this morning. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, that is this body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a new spiritual body awaiting us. How do we know that? By faith we know that. It gives us our hope in that. It is the very reality of that. For in this we groan, in this body, in this tent, in this tabernacle, we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation or our dwelling place, which is from heaven. It'll be a heavenly body, a spiritual body. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, that is, without a body, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Indeed, God's people know that we have a new body waiting, even though this body is gradually decaying before our eyes. We have a new one awaiting in the heavens for us. So in order to have a successful death, you must die the death of the righteous. Or you must die in the Lord. Or you must die in faith. But there is a certain tragedy, a sure tragedy, that's going to come if you die in your sins. Think about that. You can die the death of the righteous and not die in your sins. You can die in faith and not die in your sins. You can die in the Lord and not die in your sins. But if you die in your sins, that's it. There'll not be a second chance. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. Know that little word, once? Many people sometimes say, well, I died three times on the operating table. The Bible teaches contrary to that. That little word once means one time for all times. It's the same word we find in Jude 3, the gospel that was delivered once for all, one time for all times. There'll not be another message come from God. We've been given the final message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been delivered one time for all times. Same word here. It's appointed for men to die once. Now, of course, our doctors and our scientists, they don't know when death comes. Sometimes men say, well, he died because his heart quit beating. He didn't die. His heart quit beating. Sometimes men say, well, he died because he quit breathing. But he didn't die because he quit breathing. He quit breathing. He wasn't dead. There's been many a man who people have turned their back and walked away because they thought he or she was dead. Just to hear the moan or the groan behind them, to turn around and see that they've become conscious again. Did he come to life? Was he resurrected from the dead? Same thing is true for babies who are born. Sometimes they're born and come forth from their mother's womb and grasp for a few breaths of air, and they lay them aside as though they've died at birth, just to turn around to hear the baby crying in a few moments. Only God knows, man does not know, when the spirit of man departs his body, that's when man is dead. You see, man cannot see the spirit depart from the body. Man does not know when life leaves the body. God does, and it only happens once. So there is sure and certain tragedy if you die in your sins, because you will not have a second chance. You're going to die once. Your spirit is going to depart from your body. You're going to be dead. It's not going to come back. The resurrection hadn't happened yet. When does the resurrection happen? When the Lord comes back. If your spirit comes back to your body, that means you've been resurrected from the dead. No, you die once. One time for all times. You'll not have a second chance. If you die in your sins, it's over with. You only have the judgment to look forward to. How tragic it is indeed to die in your sins. Amen. So those who die in their sins, those who die in unfaithfulness, will have a horrible fate awaiting them. James 5 and in verse 19, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin." How tragic indeed it is to die in your sins. You will be dead, eternally separated from God. Those who die in their sins simply will not be able to go where Christ is. John 8 in our text, John 8 and verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "I'm going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." If you die in your sins and you think you're going to go to heaven, you can't go, because that's where he was going. He is there at the right hand of God. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." He's in heaven. You die in your sins, you're not going there. You're not going where he's going or where he's at. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's where he is, and if you die in your sins, you're not going there. Colossians 1 and verse 3. Colossians 3 and in verse 1. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." That's where he's at. Again, if you die in your sins, you're not going there. He will come again, and we'll all stand before him in the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad." Those who die in their sins are not those who die the death of the righteous. Those who die in their sins are not those who die in faith. Those who die in their sins are not those who die in the Lord, in a relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be separated from God forever if you die in your sins. Matthew 25 and verse 46, "These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Jesus said, "You shall die in your sin." Note that. I don't know if you noticed that in the text or not. You shall die in your sin, singular, compared to sins, plural, in verse 24. You shall die in your sins, plural. What's the point? Why the singular in verse 21? The singular is their belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You'll die in your unbelief. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you will die. And all of that unbelief will accumulate other sins. Because if one does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that sin alone, that sin of unbelief, will keep you from going to heaven. But if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're going to sin in other ways. Because you do not believe, then Adultery means nothing. Fornication means nothing. Homosexuality means nothing. You name all the list of the sins, so you will engage in those things. You'll die in your sins. But the first sin you're going to die in is the sin of unbelief in Jesus as the Son of God. That sin alone is enough to keep you out of heaven. We, as children of God, need to seriously give consideration to death from time to time, because the experience is coming to all of us unless the Lord comes first. We're either going to die being prepared for death or unprepared. And the worst kind of death to die is without any hope of eternal salvation. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, will you not believe in Him? Will you not confess your faith in Him? Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Become a child of God. Do not be and continue to be a child of the devil. You have a choice. Get in Christ, have your sins forgiven, and live faithful and die in faith in Christ. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.